Please be seated. Thanks. Well, we have a fun topic to look at today. It's about resting in the Lord. And you, if you know me, you know lots of times I tell about all the different words. Well, today I'm not going to tell you what the Hebrew words are, or the Aramaic words, or the Greek words, but I am going to tell you what the actions are behind some of those words. And by looking at the actions, I saw that there were about five really key points that I want to make about how to rest. And I don't know about you, but this is something that I have been working on for quite a while, actually, maybe the last few months. Just how to, like, rest. And it has the idea of the shepherd. So we're going to be looking at some pretty common verses and familiar verses today about the shepherd and what the shepherd does. But it's all in the idea of how do we rest? How can we rest more? So the first one is Matthew 11:28, which if you were on the conference call when Allison was sharing, she shared this passage, and then Bob had a teaching too about take my yoke upon you and what the yoke is. And it's a very familiar one about, you know, come all you weary. And that's why I wanted to play that song too, is that if you're weary or heavy laden, Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. So I wanted to read this passage from the Message, which is kind of an unusual thing, right? But it's pretty interesting. So here we go. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. 28. This is the Message, yeah. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me. So this is like the first key about how to find rest. Is Jesus said, you've got to come to me. And then you need to allow me to be the shepherd for you. And learn from me. I am meek and lowly in my heart. And you will find rest. You will be refreshed when you come to me. So it's a really simple key, but if you think about it, that's what happens to us, is that we have a tendency to go, I don't need anything, I can do it. You know, there was a part of that other song about how the world tells you, well, just try harder, just be good enough, you know, keep on pushing. And actually what God says is, no, stop, come to me, and then you will find the rest that you need, and you'll also be able to have the energy that you need to do the things you have to do, right? Okay, point number two is from Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7, and I'm going to read from my Aramaic translation. And this whole passage in Hebrews 3 and 4 is about rest and how you can find rest and what is rest and different things. But we're just going to read this one little section here. it's starting in verse 7. Again, he set another day after a long time, as it was written above. For David said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua, the son of Nun, had given them rest when Israel was going into the promised land, you know, Joshua led them in there. Well, when they were in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts. And Anyway, he would not have spoken afterwards about another day. So there's going to be a future rest to Israel too. You know, that's what this whole passage is talking about. Verse 9, therefore it is established for the people of God to be given a rest. The thing is that there is going to be a future rest for Israel and for us too, right? But there's a rest now. There remaineth a rest to the people of God now. And so then this is how he says that we're supposed to be able to have it. Verse 10. For he who enters into his rest has also rested from his works, as God rested from his. Remember when God did creation, he worked 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rested. So he set up this principle of rest, that you can't just keep working and working and working and working and working. You know, there has to be a time of rest. So verse 11 says, therefore, we should be diligent to enter into that rest so that we will not fall in the likeness of those who were not persuaded. King James says, you know, we should labor to enter into rest, you know, which is just so contrary. Well, the part that's the work, though, is the trusting and believing that when we do go to God and come to Him with all of our cares and don't harden our hearts, then He will provide the answer. So this passage about, or the quotation that was up in verse 7 about, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, that comes from Psalm 95, because it says, as David said it. And I wanted to read that to you because it's really interesting. Starting in verse 6, Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Sheep, shepherding. Here we go again. Today, if you will hear His voice, remember how the shepherd calls the sheep? And they learn how to recognize His voice. And that's the reason why they follow Him. And then verse 8 is the quotation. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. God had brought them out of the land of Egypt with all these signs and wonders across the Red Sea, into the wilderness. He provided manna for them to eat every day so they weren't hungry. And they got to this place called Meribah, and they were complaining and whining and were just miserable, saying, is the Lord among us or not? I mean, like, hello? They just saw some of the greatest miracles that ever could have happened. And they're complaining because they didn't have any water. Go, okay, well, if God could bring them from Egypt and conquer the entire Egyptian army, and also give them that, do you think that He could probably give them water too? So Moses, you know, hit the rock and the water came out, and then, but they still were not happy. That's what it's talking about do not harden your hearts. And cease from your own works. Because when we think that we have the ability to give ourselves peace and rest, then we become hardened to God, see, and we don't look for what His solution is. He's got the water. And the labor part of it, or the being diligent part of it, is that we have to trust that He will provide the water when we need it. So that's the idea of Meribah. And the action for this particular point is to not only cease from your own works, but to cease from something, like stop something. And in Aramaic, the picture is to unload a burden, like a ship. Like a ship has a cargo, right? Well, in order to cease from our own works, we actually have to unload them. And that's when you start to get the idea of how to make things calm down. So now the third one is the action is to drop down and get settled. And that's from Psalm 23, which I was talking to Mom yesterday. My mom's here today and my sister. And I asked, well, Judy was asking her, what's your favorite psalm? She goes, oh, Psalm 23. And this is about the shepherding. So I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, the NLT. And it's really beautiful. So it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I want not, right? I want not. I'm not going to want anything. Verse 2, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. The Hebrew right there is literally waters of quietness. Waters of quietness. We're going to talk a little bit more about the water part. But he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You see how it's all about the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. You can make it really, really personal this way, see, because God provides the rest for us individually. But then we realize that this giant meadow that we get to be in is where all the other sheep are too, you know, and we get to do it together, but it's so personal. This part is really, really personal. Verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord. I've been saying that last verse over and over again. So, through some of these changes, things that are going on, times, it's like, surely. God's unfailing love will pursue us all the days of our life, and we can trust that. I was also picturing last week when Brittany and Shay brought their brand new little baby. She's only a month old. And she had her wrapped up in this little cocoon. And you could just see her little face sticking out. But she was so protected. She was so comforted because Brittany had her arms wrapped around her the whole time. And that's the idea of, you know, how the shepherd would come and he'd lift up the lamb into his little pocket that in his cloak and hold them. And he'll gently lead those that are with young. Well, he leads them to these green pastures, right? So what's the part we're supposed to do? Allow it, right? It causes us to go to these green pastures. But what we have to do is we basically have to drop down and let yourself get settled. Because if you don't drop down, how are you going to lie in green pastures? Right? I mean, it's an action, like you can think about it. And the second part of that is that when a sheep lays down in green pastures, it's not like there's no wolves around. They're on the outside, or the lions, or whatever. It's not like they're not there, but because they trust the shepherd to take care of them, then they actually will settle down. And so the second part of this is to stop speaking, like be still, zip the lip. And it was really funny last week, Sunday, and I was out in my yard, and there must have been 50 different crows that were up in these two trees, and they were fighting and squawking and and bombing each other, and I guess, you know, one whole family had tried to take over these trees that the other one says, no, these are mine. Anyway, they were yakking and squawking and always, you know, just really, really loud for like 5 hours until finally whoever was that wasn't supposed to be there left. I was like, wow. But man, I thought, that's what people sound like sometimes, where they're just squawking about, well, the wolves are out there, and that's what's happening. Right? I mean, I have fallen prey to it as well, sometimes, to go that complaining route again, see? So this is drop down and zip the lip. Stop speaking. Stop talking about the wolves that are out there. Start talking about the shepherd and what he does and how great he is and how, you know, in the manifestations he tells us he loves us so very much. What do we have to be afraid of? Nothing, right? So, okay, now point number 4. The thing about the shepherd is that he's the one, both God and the Lord Jesus are shepherds, right? They're the ones that know the exact right amount of water that we need. Because sheep don't like to be led to big, huge flowing stream that's rushing past them. But they also don't like to go to a stagnant pool either. Like, oh, here's some water over here you can have. They're pretty picky about what kind of water they need. So they not only need food and need to lie down, but they need the right amount of water. And that's in Psalm 1. They need to be tended or fed by the shepherd and by the gardener. Psalm 1, of course, is a really famous, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? But verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is another key, see, about the water, is when you meditate on the word, there's rest in the word, because the words of the word are true, and that they are what calm our hearts. They are what cause us to, like, okay, I can breathe again. But the promise is that he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. It's a picture not of a tree like a big oak tree by a huge giant river. It's the correct picture is an Orientalism about a garden, an Oriental garden, where the trees are planted in certain places in the garden, and then there's irrigation ditches that go around throughout the entire garden. And the gardener is who is in charge of determining with his foot, he either dams up the ditch so there's not as much water, or he, you know, opens it up and lets the water go through, so that every single tree in the garden has exactly the right amount of water. So it'll prosper. Because if you think about plants or any kind of tree, if you get too much water, they go, you know, and start sagging, right? It's like they don't have enough water, or they have too much water. But of course, around here, we see a lot of times how you don't get enough water. And like the other day when we had that big storm that poured all this water down, all the plants are going, yippee, it's rain. You know? And so that water in the Bible, it represents spiritual life and sustenance, spiritual sustenance. And we need the exact kind of water for each situation. You know, I've been talking about this for quite a long time, about how God's solutions are what we need. We press toward the mark so that we can have his solution for our situation and not our own, you know. So it's His delight is in the law of the Lord. When we delight ourselves in the Word, then we're going to be getting just the right amount of water. Okay, the last point is that it's something that I learned from a podcast that I listened to with Graham Cook. And he had a whole series about rest, and he was talking about the how rest is actually a weapon. And it was a really interesting take on it. So it's from Philippians 4, which is also just such a familiar passage. And he's talking about it in terms of rest and peace. But it's that where rest, when you really are rested and you've done all these things, okay, you came to the shepherd, you cease from your own works, you stop speaking and complaining and settle down, and then, you know, we're really seeking what the right amount of water is, then this is what happens. Verse 6, chapter 4, do not be distressed about anything, but at all times, by prayer and by petition and with thanksgiving, your requests should be made known before God. And the peace of God, which peace is a result of rest, the peace of God that is greater than all knowledge or that passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So he was saying that this peace, lots of times before we've talked about how, you know, peace like garrisons you inside a fortress or something, right? But he was explaining it more like peace or rest is like a sword where you're standing guard at the door of your heart with this sword, and you're basically saying, it's like you're a guard at that gate going, who goes there? You know, thoughts of worry and fretting and anxiety and all that, you've got your sword there and you go, whoa, wait a minute, hold on, I'm not allowing you past my heart. Zap! You know? And it's a really cool picture. It's not the only way, obviously, you could explain this, but I just thought it was so interesting because peace or the rest, this kind of rest that I'm talking about, is a guard. It's the one that has the uniform that says, what's the password? You can't come in here. Right? And so then our hearts are preserved from buying into that whole anxiety, whatever stuff. And the other key in there, obviously, is that, you know, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. But I also thought that it was really interesting back up in verse 4, I think it is, where it says, let your forbearance be known unto all men. You want to be a guard to your heart? You got to have forbearance. Because the Lord is at hand. You know, time is short here. Are we going to allow the thoughts of worry and all that to dominate our hearts and our lives? Or are we going to be a guard and just put the sword there and go, no, sorry, you can't come past here anymore. You can't keep convincing me that my life stinks. Because it's not true. We are loved by the God who created the heavens and the earth and who is our Father. And we are loved by the Lord who gave his life for us. What do we have to be afraid of? What do we have to worry about? When we know that the shepherd, both of them being the shepherd, we can come to them, we can lay down our own thoughts, we can, the third point was, you know, drop down and stop speaking about the problem, and then trust that he's just going to give us the exact things that we need to understand today, which I trust that this is one of them, that we will meditate on. See, meditate on the Word day and night. Put a verse like this. Let the peace of God guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You can think about that in the individual words and what does it mean to you and how do I apply this? How can I do this today? And just really meditate on it. And then stand guard. Be watchful. Don't let those thoughts of worry and anxiety come anywhere close. And just go, stop. Sorry, I'm the guard. The rest in the Lord. See? Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. He alone is the rock of my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. Amen? Okay. I have a song to play for you before we leave, and it's a version of Psalm 23, and I think you would be really, really blessed with it. And then we'll close up the fellowship.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'm not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul.
Be afraid, and because we know we are not alone, and we can come to you, learn of you, and have this rest that you've provided for us in Christ Jesus, just to be a guard for our hearts. Thank you for this wonderful day that we can be together and share, and thank you for every single person who's listening on the conference call right now, as well as that will listen in the coming days. Thank you for being our shepherd. And it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
Yeah.